Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And we're joined once again today by Nick Petrie, who is the author of the brand new Peter Ash novel, Light It Up. It's available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. Peter, we've had you on to discuss your first two books in this Peter Ash series. They were your first two published novels, in fact. And now you've brought Peter Ash back, and you know it's not a series you need to read in order. So if you're one of the unfortunate few who did not start this series at the beginning, kind of set it up for us. Peter Ash is an Afghanistan war veteran, and he has a condition that sort of permeates the books. Take it from there.
Yeah, so he's a quite complex character. So I'm not a veteran myself, so I'm not writing from personal experience, but over the years I've had a lot of women, men and women coming home from war and hearing about those challenges they're facing. I really found myself moved by what they were going through. So my character, Peter Ash, is based on those conversations with veterans. He's a capable guy, he's driven, but he's struggling adjusting to life after his war, and he's got this post-traumatic stress that shows up as a kind of claustrophobia. He calls it the white static, and he can't be inside for more than a couple of minutes. And I think it's this complexity, this combination of strengths and weaknesses that really seem to resonate with readers.
This white static that he, this noise that he hears and can't be inside, I know that came from his war experience, but as a writer, as you've gotten to know this character, do you start to feel the senses of that as you write? I mean, I would think a little bit of it rubs off on you, right?
Well, absolutely. For me, writing is a very immersive process. I mean, if you think about reading a really good book where you sort of forget where you are, you forget that you're lying on the couch and you're transported to wherever it is the book takes place, writing is like that, only more so, because you're trying to really imagine. You say to yourself, now what would that smell like? You know, what's the physical sensation involved? So you're absolutely right. I mean, I can, when I'm writing about a panic attack, I'm almost having one myself.
You know, in the first two books, you had us in Milwaukee in the first book. You took us to California in the second book. This book, we're in Colorado, and you've given us a tour of the United States, and it involves the legalized cannabis industry there. But as you wrote the Colorado that we see in this book, I know it's a modern-day Colorado, but it almost had a Deadwood-type feel of the Old West just by how everything is being dealt with regarding the legalized cannabis industry. When you immersed yourself into that world, did you go into it with any preconceived notions of what you were going to find when you went to Colorado?
Well, you know, it was such a surprise. So I live in Wisconsin. There's no medical marijuana in Wisconsin, certainly no legal marijuana in Wisconsin. And to show up in a state where, you know, Colorado was really the first state to go big on this. And I remember I was pumping gas in Aurora, Colorado, and just from standing at that gas pump, I could turn my head and see four retailers selling pot. And it's just, you know, it's not like you know, people are, you know, stoned and passed out on the street. It's not that. It just sort of permeates the place in a way that is sort of surreal for me. Imagine what life was like in the United States right after Prohibition was lifted. I mean, it's that kind of experience. So in doing the research, I talked to growers, I talked to retailers, I talked to people running protection companies. So I really did dig in to see what that was like. But, you know, you mentioned the Western thing. This book really is kind of a Western in that way. And it didn't really happen on purpose. It just sort of kept coming up. So then in revisions, you sort of play up those parts.
You just mentioned the protection companies with respect to the people involved in the marijuana industry there in Colorado. That's where Peter's story takes us here. I don't want to give anything away, but can you kind of explain to us how that all plays into the plot?
Sure. Well, Peter's helping a friend who runs a security company protecting these marijuana entrepreneurs from thieves. And when hijackers hit Peter's cash run, he's got to first save himself and then track down the hijackers, and things get wild pretty quickly. You know, the interesting piece about this for me is that the federal banking regulations don't allow legal marijuana entrepreneurs access to the banks. So they grow and sell this product worth millions of dollars, but they have to do business entirely in cash. They have to pay their employees in cash. They have to pay their federal taxes in cash. So they need armed protection. And, you know, hey, drugs, money, and guns, what could possibly go wrong?
And these protection companies, I know that this is a thing that's ripe for veterans to come and be part of, because veterans have this ability to protect people because that's what they do when they were in the service. But as Peter's involved in this, and the veterans that you talk to who are involved in the protection industry, did you find some overriding theme? I mean, I imagine they don't necessarily have a law enforcement type of attitude about it, but they've just got to have a more of a service-oriented attitude, right?
Well, part of talking with veterans who've come home, part of what they really miss about their time, you know, certainly overseas, you know, there's a real love-hate relationship with combat. It's the adrenaline can get addictive. It's a very exciting thing to do, and people sort of miss that adrenaline rush, and they also really miss the sense of mission. And I think that's one of the things that draws veterans to this particular protection businesses. They have a new mission, which is to really protect these people. They're developing relationships with growers and retailers. So it's a, you know, I think that's sort of the synchronicity. The other interesting thing is that you know veterans, you know, most of America doesn't really understand what veterans have gone through, because we have this all volunteer army. So in a way they're kind of their own sort of separate outside culture. And people in the cannabis industry are the same way. So it's these two groups of sort of little separate cultures that sort of come together. And there's a synchronicity there that's really interesting, and these relationships that develop. And I think that's, you know, what people you know, are really drawn to about this book is, you know, those relationships and that tension.
We're talking with Nick Petrie, who is the author of Light It Up. It's the brand new Peter Ash novel, the third in the series, available from the good folks at Putnam. Nick, as we delve further into this, with Peter Ash's character, he has this PTSD, and how does that PTSD and his specific condition affect his ability to form intimate relationships, not just with business partners, but with, you know, his love interest in the books and things like that?
Well, Peter's problem is claustrophobia, so he really can't even sleep inside. June Cassidy is Peter's love interest in this book, and she's a very strong woman. She's not scared off by Peter's warrior side and all that comes with it. But you know, it's a challenge. If you know, my wife would not want to spend her life living in a tent, and I think there are a lot of women who share that. Part of my goal with this whole series is to show Peter step by step his process, trying to work through his post-traumatic stress, and June is part of that. Part of, you know, she's kind of the carrot that he's trying to, you know, to pull himself toward. You know, I'm talking to veterans who have, I mean, there's so many different ways that people cope with this. And so I'm just sort of trying to show one pathway through.
And when you write a character who has PTSD, I would imagine it's not something that remains the same throughout each book and each story and each location. The PTSD evolves over time. Is that something that you've had to deal with as a writer who's never experienced it?
Well, I'm trying to show, you know, as I said, sort of the evolution of a character. And when you're writing a series like this, you want to take small steps along the way, but you know, as a writer, you know, it's tough to. You don't want to write the same thing. You know, my goal is for these books to be different from each other, and in a way, that's why I write about a different setting every time. They all take place in different cities and states, but it's a challenge for writers to keep things fresh and interesting, and to have a character that evolves along the way is, for me personally, is something that helps me stay focused and keep things fresh.
When you wrote the June Cassidy character, who is Peter's love interest, and she would be what I would describe as an anti-debutante. I think that's probably the best way to describe her. But how long did you go back and forth in your mind as to try to create a character who would attract Peter?
Well, I've been lucky in that I've had a lot of strong women as role models in my life, and Peter is a very strong personality, and he needed somebody who would be a real match for him. Because, again, I think those are the most interesting relationships where, you know, between equals. And I think it would be easy for Peter and his challenges to sort of overwhelm people. So she really has to be strong and tough in the same ways that he is in order for this relationship to have some spark on the page. So I mean that's kind of where she comes from. You know, some characters you really work to develop, and some characters just show up fully formed, and she really just showed up.
And her dialogue is so realistic, and as I read it, sometimes, I mean, I don't laugh out loud ever when I read, but I a lot of times smile if something's funny, and I do that a lot of times when June, she swears a lot, and to make that sound realistic, the way I read it, and I sometimes hear a female voice in my head saying that, do you read this dialogue out loud, or have a female read it back to you to make sure that it sounds so realistic, because you've nailed it?
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. One of the tricks for writers is to read your work out loud, and you can find a lot of flaws just in sentences by when you read out loud. So I don't start to finish read the book to myself out loud. But if there's a scene that and especially dialogue, I will read it out loud just to sort of see how it sounds. And I'm a big fan of Elmore Leonard, who he wrote, among other things, Get Shorty and Out of Sight, that all the stuff that was made into movies, and his dialogue is so good. So I'm just sort of trying to live up to that very, very high bar. And dialogue is just fun. It's a great way. It does a lot of work, too, because you're trying to move the story along. You're trying to convey character, and you want it to be snappy, right? You want it to be fun and funny, and I'm so glad that I can make you smile, because that's part of the goal. With these books is to entertain people.
Well, I know this has to have been an amazing ride for you, these last three books, and I know that there's at least another one coming. But when I first talked to you, when your first book came out, you were running a home inspection business. I think you're still doing that. But are you still inspecting homes, or is that writing now taken over your full time?
Writing is now my full time gig. I inspected my last house on July 31st. I was going to take a little time off because I really needed to make some progress on the book that comes after this one, and I just kind of never went back. So the business is officially all shut down, and I get to spend my days telling stories and making stuff up, which is wonderful. This is the first winter I haven't spent climbing around in the snow and up on roofs, and we had this horrible cold spell. With wind chill, 20 or 30 below. So this was the first winter I haven't been out in that. So it's really nice.
Is that scary to shut down a business that you've run for so long and just now focus?
It's terrifying. It's like, it's like the old Roadrunner cartoons where Wile E. Coyote runs off the cliff and he's just sort of, floating there before he realizes he's run off the cliff. I'm just trying not to look down.
Well, I know us as readers appreciate it. The book is Light It Up. It's a Peter Ash novel by Nick Petrie. It is the third in the series of the Peter Ash series, available now wherever your fine books are sold from the good folks at Putnam. Nick, just another fantastic novel. Thanks for doing this, and thanks for joining us today.
Oh, it's my great pleasure. Thanks so much for having me, Brian.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vakalskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com. Also, be sure to like Having Read That on Facebook and subscribe to our iTunes podcast. Thanks to segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time. Come on, baby, light my fire.